This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Republicans reacting after President Biden pardoned his son Hunter in a surprise announcement Sunday stretching over 10 years. ABC legal analyst Dan Abrams.
There is an argument that he could have done something much more limited, granting him clemency. That would have meant the conviction stand, but with regard to a sentence, he doesn't get any jail time. There is no sentence.
President-elect Trump calling the Hunter Biden pardon a, quote, abuse and miscarriage of justice. Israeli-American soldier Omar Maxim Nutra, believed to be in Gaza, now confirmed by the IDF to have been killed in the original October 7th attack by Hamas. It's not even officially winter yet, and yet winter storm dumping feet of snow in some areas around the Great Lakes. Wild weather, even by Buffalo, New York standards. Mayor Christopher Scanlon.
Used to the snow coming in. What we are seeing now is larger storms than we've seen in the past.
Carmaker Stellantis CEO Carlos Tavares resigning amid falling sales. This is a...
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers will begin a two-week tour of the state to hold listening sessions on the biennial budget. Today, Evers will be in Appleton. He will have additional stops in other parts of the state, including the Cooley region. A number of public officials have already stated their budget priorities, including what to do with the state's massive surplus. Republicans want to use the money to offer tax relief, while Democrats want to put the funds to use for public education and child care, among other things. The state's Democratic Party leader is seeking a promotion. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
Ben Wickler, who's the chair of Wisconsin's Democratic Party, has announced he's running to be the Democratic National Committee chair. He launched his campaign website Sunday with the slogan, Unite, Fight, Win. He joins a long list of Democrats vying for the position. The election will be on February 1st.
Meanwhile, Wisconsin's Republican Party chairman Brian Schimming will serve another term. Gas prices in Wisconsin dropped over the holiday week. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices fell 8.3 cents over the last week. The average in Wisconsin today is $2.77 per gallon. This is 8.5 cents lower than a month ago and over 15 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Areas around the Great Lakes may have seen prices go up just before traveling commenced around the Thanksgiving holiday. However, most of the nation saw prices holding stable or decline slightly, with the national average near the lowest level seen since 2021. Officials at Gas Buddy say the weeks ahead should feature slight drops in most areas. You should see gas for $2.99 or less through the holiday shopping season. Potential impacts from tariffs are something to watch for, though they would have no effect until late January if implemented at all.
In La Crosse, gas prices have held steady for 5 weeks at about $2.77 per gallon. Across the river in Houston County, prices fell nearly 10 cents per gallon to $2.80 over the past week. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Bucks have a winning record. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 124-114 win over the Wizards this weekend. So the Bucks now with a record of 10-9, thanks to a six-game winning streak. I asked Giannis Antetokounmpo, what's different about the team now after that 1-6 start to the season?
We know how to win games. Guys kept saying the same thing, like, doesn't matter, just win the game, want to go watch film, be better.
College hoops, the Badgers open up their Big Ten schedule tomorrow night against Michigan at the Kohl Center. Wisconsin undefeated at 8-0. NFL, the Packers getting ready to play the Lions in Detroit this Thursday night. The Badgers football team not invited to a bowl game after their first losing season in 22 years. Where is this program at?
It's really tough to kind of say where we are. Obviously, we're not in a good place. We're 5-7, and you know, really, we're just not even playing well. We got a job to do. We got a job to prepare guys to get ready to play a game, and then their job is to play the game. Unfortunately, we haven't done that for quite a while.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Scattered clouds this morning, becoming mostly sunny by later this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 20s with wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, we'll drop down to around 12 for a low. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, becoming a little breezier in the afternoon with a high in the mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, Dom will be back live for all the political talk you missed. No more looking at how the sausage gets made, except for the government. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Eagle 1490 AM.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. On this Monday, December 2nd, 2024, it is a great day to be Wisconsinite. It is a great day to be a birthday boy. Happy birthday, Mr. Aaron Zommers. Thank you very much. I'm going to call upon the masses, the stars, and start singing and see what happens. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Aaron. Happy birthday to you. Turn the mics here, Zommers. Turn the mics. This is. Look at that. Come on.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Here we have the Civic Media staff and crew have joined me here live in the studio to wish you a very happy birthday.
I was wondering what you were doing with the microphones in there.
Well, I was just changing around. You can't get anything by this guy. You understand? All right, so here we have, look at Anacon making birthday faces. This is great. All right, so here we have a birthday presentation. I will hand it over to our, very good. Go ahead. All right, the present's being brought to you, Zombies. This is the office present being brought to you. Since, not everybody can see the stream, it's a beautiful brown bag with a little white tissue in it.
Or it's blue. It's blue.
Oh, I'm sorry, blue.
Let's see what we got here. Oh, boy. All right. Okay.
All right, he's opening it up now. Look at this.
Chef Frog here. I'll hold it up for the camera if you can kind of see it. That's beautiful. Thank you very much.
And explain to people now why you got a frog.
So I have a ton of frog decorations. Mm. I started collecting I don't know how many years ago, because my youngest sister, Elena, one day just got me a little frog pin or something. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of expanded from there and finding weirder and weirder frogs. Like I have one in a bikini.
Really?
At home. I've got
a frog in a bikini.
That's probably the weirdest
one. I didn't even know that was a thing.
There's also meditating frogs. There's like frog princes. That one might be a little more expected.
Do you have a chef frog?
I do now.
Now you do now. Oh, see? All right. There's something I think. What else you got in there? Well, go ahead.
Oh. It's also a card with a gift certificate to I'm Bored, a board game store in Middleton.
There we go. Look at that. Well done, everybody. Well done.
And a card, should I look at the card now or should I look at the
you
card?
You can open it up. We don't have to read every name, but I mean, yeah. I'm not sure. It's not like
it's
the Academy Awards.
So. Yeah. Have a happy birthday.
Look at that. Well done. We appreciate
you know, you do so much for us as our senior producer. You're not just doing this show, but you're people listen to the Kripes cast. You're doing all the editing for that, for Lost in the Middle. You do a lot of the promos here at the station. And every time somebody at the Racine and Waukesha studio have a guest here, you're usually setting them up. So there's a lot more that people don't see that you do for this company. And I just wanted to say publicly thank you. We have you know, Sage, our CEO, is here. He's told me that he's giving you a $20,000 pay increase. That's very Wait a minute. I'm being fired. This will be the last Town Hall Boss show. No. Corey Hartman, our vice president.
You know, usually it's a 50-cent off coupon to Dairy Queen, but we thought we'd up it a little this time.
Nice. I like that. Well, thank you, Aaron. On behalf of all of us here at Civic, hope you have a very happy birthday, and thanks for all you do for us.
Well, thank you. And thanks to all of you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody. We appreciate you. Look at that. See, a little surprise, a little birthday surprise. That's good stuff, right?
Yeah.
You gotta take time for each other.
I didn't expect that. You know, I didn't know what you were doing with the microphone, but I didn't expect that.
No, it's we just wanted to take time to say thank you. And thank you for all the staff and crew for coming in here and helping out. We appreciate all that.
The frog, for those of you who couldn't see it, it's a little stuffed frog. It has an apron, a chef hat, a knife, and a little mustache. I like the little mustache on the frog.
Yeah, it's a mustachioed frog, so... Anyway, but in all seriousness, thank you, Aaron. We really do appreciate you. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. If you want to join in the Zomers festivities. Bob, listening down in beautiful Waukesha, home of WAUK. Bob, thanks for listening. What say you?
About Luke Pickle.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
The problem with the Badgers is, one, their offensive line wasn't as good as it's been in years past.
Mm-hmm.
And two, they haven't had a good quarterback since Russell Wilson. That Black, he was a terrible quarterback. And you can't blame Longo. He gave Black the plays. But Lock couldn't execute. He could hand the ball off, but any dummy, you and I could do that.
He was
a regular.
Right.
I mean, he could make a long pass down the field one time, and then the next six passes, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
No, look, I get it.
Fickle ever did.
Go ahead.
All Fickle ever did was stand on the sidelines, chew gum when he fired Longo. He should have taken over the play calling. He's the head coach, but he passed it off.
Right. Well, I
think he's a terrible coach.
Well, I appreciate your call, Bob. And again, this goes back to, we started this in hour one a little bit, talking about, I went to the Wisconsin-Minnesota game this weekend, Wisconsin-Badger football game at Camp Randall. Badgers lost the axe to Minnesota. Finished the season first time in 22 years with a losing record, only 5 wins on the year. And Wisconsin football, not in a good place. And yes, Bob, you're right. I mean, Luke Fickle, head coach, did fire Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator, a couple weeks ago. But I'm not sure that, I just don't believe that you can put the blame on any one player. Yes, I mean, was Braden Locke, remember Tyler Van Dyke was supposed to be the number one QB this year, and he went down in what, second game of the season with an ACL? And so they had to move Braden Locke up. He was the next man up. And to your point, Phil Longo, I think it's the offensive coordinator's job to look at the talent pool that he has available on the roster and then adjust his offensive calls to what he has available. And I think for a lot of Badger fans, the frustration wasn't as much that Locke wasn't able to pull off the so-called air raid pass-heavy offense as it was that Phil Longo seemed to be reticent up until the Oregon game, was reticent to mix in any sort of an identifiable run game, which has always been the bread and butter for the most part of the Wisconsin Badgers ever since Barry Alvarez came here in the early 90s. And the fact that Phil Longo abandoned that by and large and then kept at it even when it wasn't working, I think that's what really frustrated a lot of Badger fans, and maybe even more so. And this is what really galled a lot of people over the weekend. PJ Fleck, who I've gone off on PJ Fleck enough on this show, I won't beat up on him right now. He's a very self-absorbed individual, in my opinion. But he spoke some truth in Madison on Saturday. When, to paraphrase him, he said the toughest team won. And he was right, unfortunately. And I think that's what bothers a lot of Badger fans more than the win and loss column. It's the fact that a program like Wisconsin, who has prided itself for 25 plus years of being usually the toughest team, physically, mentally, work ethic on the team, on the field, has not been this year. And I'm not talking about Alabama and Oregon and Penn State. I'm talking about Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. The heart of the former Big Ten West, which we had dominated for years. We're losing to them on toughness, on agility. That's the identity that I think a lot of Badger fans are upset with that has been lost. And from the outside, it appears there hasn't been a whole lot of urgency to change that on behalf of Fickell. So time will tell. Again, Fickell has a big contract. I read over the weekend, I think it's $33 million is what it would cost UW to buy him out if they fired him now. So most likely isn't going to happen. Reports are he's looking at the UNLV offensive coordinator to be the next offensive coordinator for Wisconsin. I think it's Marion Brennan, I believe is the guy's name. Then he has something called, we're going to go from the air raid offense to the so-called go-go offense. That's what Marion Brennan's offense is called. And apparently it combines a running and passing offense called the go-go offense.
Well, I hope the team wakes up before they go-go.
Nicely done. Allie listening in Madison on WMDX says the Badgers need Jim Leonard and a bigger front line. Well, yeah, there's a lot. You know, Jim Leonard, of course, was the defensive coordinator here, won accolades, one of the best defenses in America. When Paul Chris was head coach, a lot of people thought he would take over as head coach. UW athletic director Chris McIntosh passed him over to go get Fickell. Now, there were understandably a lot of hurt feelings. Is UW willing to pay enough to even have interest from Jim Leonard to be the next defensive coordinator? A lot of people aren't happy with the defense either, with Tressel. But A, would Jim Leonard want to, and could UW pay him enough? As I said, people like me have fantasized about, well, wouldn't it be great to bring Jim Leonard back as the head coach? In reality, because of the dollar signs, because of the money involved, probably not going to happen. Fickell will probably get at least a half a year more, if not a full third year. And then you have to ask yourself, how far will the program be gone at that point if they can't turn it around? And how much of that is the responsibility of Chris McIntosh, the athletic director? John Roach on this program said it best. And I agree with him. In today's name, like, image, and likeness world, Wisconsin simply doesn't have enough millionaires or billionaires that care enough about college football like Phil Knight does at Oregon to compete in the NIL world.
It's the same problem that the Brewers have had for a long time.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm fine winning 9-10 games consistently, going to a nice bowl game on New Year's Day, and occasionally competing for a Cinderella year of a national championship. But that's just me. Gonna come back, take more of your phone calls, switch gears to Joe Biden. After this, it's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media. Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Harbor Freight knows tool people like to keep busy. But with our Black Friday sale now through Monday, you'll want to free up some time. We're talking deals like our 5,000-watt generators under $800, 17-foot reach ladders for $99.99, and 40% off Icon Pro socket sets. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Valid until 12/2/24. While supplies last, limitations apply.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select its new chair. The race for that role might just have a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is a potential candidate for chair of the DNC. A source close to Wickler said he is seriously considering running. One Democratic source characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the position. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 13th. A lot can happen between now and then, but this story will certainly be one to watch for Democratic politics in the state of Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air. Jitterbug. Jitterbug.
Jitterbug. Jitterbug. You put the boom boom into my heart. You send my soul sky high when your loving starts. Jitterbug into my brain.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Monday, December 2nd. Nicely done, little wham. Little wham, right?
Yeah, little wham with Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go in honor of the go-go offense. And also, it's just fun to hear some George Michael.
Absolutely. Sings our theme song, but always fantastic. All right, well, this was fantastic, by the way, Dave, the caller. Because this feeds in exactly to our what's worse today. So let's get right to it, Zombers. Here we go. This or that, this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. Welcome in to another edition of What's Worse. No prize money to give away. No gifts of any sort. Simply your ability to have your voices heard across statewide radio and on the internet around the world. What's worse feeds right into what Bob was talking about. Badger football. Today's what's worse, the Badger football team under Coach Luke Fickell or the Badger football team under Don Morton? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. This is trickier, in my opinion, than you might think. What's worse? What is worse? The Badger football team under Coach Luke Fickell, the current coach, or the Badger football team under Don Morton? Now, if you're not of a certain age, you're not going to get this. Don Morton came in. He was the coach in between longtime coach Dave McClain, which a lot of people loved. He achieved a little bit of success. I believe went to the Liberty Bowl at one point. But it wasn't, you know, a huge national power. And Dave McClain, who by all accounts was a beloved individual, died suddenly of a heart attack. And so they went out and they hired a guy by the name of Don Morton, who brought in the Veer offense. And it did not go well. I remember watching the last game on television of the Don Morton era. They played Miami, who I believe was ranked number one or two in the country. It was very highly ranked, which was a big deal for the back in the day, late 80s, early 90s, for Badger football to be on national television because, you know, there wasn't a bunch of all these different channels back then. And I remember specifically it was on ABC. And they showed Camp Randall Stadium about halftime, and it was literally half full. And they fired Dave McClain, and new chancellor Donna Shalala had hired first Pat Richter from Oscar Mayer, the CEO there, to be an alum of the Badger football team as athletic director. And then Shalala and Richter went after Notre Dame defensive coordinator Barry Alvarez. And the rest is history. So I ask you, what's worse? The current Badger football coach, Luke Fickell, the Badger football team under Luke Fickell, or the Badger football team under Don Morton? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Eric in Madison, listening on WMDX, says, as a University of Michigan fan, I can only hope that Fickell is lured away to Ohio State.
That's the Ohio State to you?
The Ohio State University.
No, that's obnoxious.
Tony, watching on YouTube, says, I really have to believe Luke Fickell is going to turn it around with his incoming class of recruits. Now, Tony, I'm glad you bring this up because this is a regular refrain from the pro-Fickell crowd. I just don't think it holds as much water as some people because of the current situation we have with NIL and the transfer portal. I mean, it used to be, hey, you know, such and such a coach or program, look at this recruiting class they have. And once they signed their official letter, those kids were locked in. Because it used to be, if you signed the letter of recruitment, that after that, if you withdrew and said you were transferring to another university, you had to sit out an entire year before you could play again at that new university. And now with the transfer portal and NIL, recruitment really doesn't mean anywhere near what it used to. You can have the best recruiting class in the world, and it could literally be gone overnight. Big booster from a different university comes in, offers a new car and something else, gone. There's very little actual commitment to programs anymore by a lot of these major college athletes. Tony says, I think they have immediate impact and draw in more recruits from NIL transfers because of the success. I'm sure a little bit. There's something to be said for the mojo. Oh, well, so-and-so from this university, from this high school, you know, our academy. Now a lot of these big guys don't even go to high schools anymore. They go to academies that specialize in college or high school level football to prepare you for D1 programs in college. I get that. And I guess if you could say, hey, look, you know what? In this one or two games, when we really executed our offense and our program the way that we see it going forward in the future, when we executed that well, we won. But I don't know that there's any time that you, in this entire two-year span, where you could really point to that and say that's the case. Yes, number one, undefeated Oregon came to Wisconsin and Wisconsin led for a time and could have and maybe should have knocked them off. But that was the one game where they actually ran the ball more. There was very little air raid offense in that game. So I think that's the most disturbing part to me is I don't see, and again, I'm not coaching D1, I'm not coaching football at any level. But as a person who has called a lot of high school and D3 college games, watched a lot of football, and listened to people who have played at Wisconsin, the lack of identity, the lack of toughness, the lack of being able to prove that their system is going to work, and now they're blowing it up. Now they're getting rid of the air raid offense, and they got the go-go's coming in. Your phone calls and more, and what's worse, The Badger football team under Fickell or the Badger football team under Don Morton? 855-752-4842. Back after this.
This is the talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A federal lawsuit has been filed in Minnesota seeking to repeal the state's laws that provide access to abortion. The suit alleges that Minnesota's laws violate the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, terminating parental rights without due process. The suit, which could be the first of many across the country, is also seeking a pause on abortions in Minnesota until the case plays out. A ruling on the case could take months or even years, according to legal experts. A state law in Minnesota guarantees abortion access. A man is in custody after a Thanksgiving Day stabbing in Tomah. Police said that a 33-year-old man was arrested after a stabbing victim was brought to a hospital in Tomah late Thursday night with life-threatening injuries. The person who was stabbed was then taken to a larger hospital for more advanced care. The man who was arrested is suspected of attempted first-degree intentional homicide and is being recommended for several charges. Police said that as their investigation continues, there may be more arrests. Holiday light displays begin this week across the state, and with more, here's Logan Roke of Travel Wisconsin.
These are wonderful volunteer-led displays of fantastic pops of color. A ton of big ones to check out. One that has really been delighting folks for three decades is in La Crosse. That is the La Crosse Rotary Lights. And I tell you, this is a trip-worthy destination this holiday season. They have more than 3 million lights that are casting a glow over the entire park. And it runs through New Year's Eve. In Oshkosh, they have their Celebration of Lights. And that starts this Friday, November 29th. That is a drive-through display at the EAA grounds. And it features hundreds of thousands of light bulbs. There is Green Bay's Garden of Lights. So this is an event that takes over the Green Bay Botanical Garden. And it's these fantastical light displays. So really, you got a lot of options throughout the state.
A full list of holiday lights and other events is available on the Travel Wisconsin website. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Scattered clouds this morning, becoming mostly sunny by later this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 20s with wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight we'll drop down to around 12 for a low. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, becoming a little breezier in the afternoon with a high in the mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 22.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about a couple of things to keep in mind when you're between jobs or when money is scarce. Number one is a reminder that most of us are already tracking. As best you can, only use credit in emergencies. You know, like a medical emergency or when your only car breaks down. Try your best not to use them for everyday type expenses. That could cost you a lot more over time. Now, number two, if you know you're going to have a hard time paying your creditors, talk to them right away. You know, have those conversations before you fall behind on your bills. They might accept a partial payment. They might be willing to work out some other arrangement with you while you're in a tough spot. And yeah, nobody likes having those conversations, but it's better than the stress of avoiding creditors later. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Dom Selvia.
Jess P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, Dom will be back live for all the political talk you missed. No more looking at how the sausage gets made, except for the government. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Only two types of people in the world. The ones that entertain and the ones that observe. Well, baby, I put on a show kind of girl. Don't like the backseat.
Welcome back to the Tell 'Em All Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 34 past the hour of 1 o'clock on Monday, December 2nd, 2024. Britney Spears, Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Zomers. In addition to Brittany Merlot and Chad Holmes.
And a
cast of others all celebrating birthdays today.
With Brittany and I, it's particularly funny.
With Brittany and I.
Because Brittany Merlot and Britney Spears, oh, Aaron yes. Rodgers and Aaron Zomers.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
So we have birthday, like celebrity birthday matches with the same name, although Whoa. Brittany is spelled a little different.
Whoa, that's big stuff. Before we go on, this is a Civic Media Entertainment breaking news update. Mr. Aaron Zomers, the birthday boy, has seen Hot Frosty, which is taking the internet by storm. This is the holiday movie of the year. It's streaming, right? Is it Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Hot Frosty.
Is it taking the internet by storm? Then you knew that and I didn't.
Yes.
I hadn't heard of it.
It's everywhere. And you, Aaron Zomers, have seen the movie over the weekend. Give us a hot take on Hot Frosty.
So, yeah, my youngest sister had some friends over and was like, hey, we're going to watch Hot Frosty. You should join us. And I was like, what's that? And then watched it with them. It's not good, but it is fun.
He throws this out here in the middle of the break, understand? He goes, yeah, I saw Hot Frosty. It's terrible. I'm like,
wait.
I didn't
say it's terrible. What? I said it's bad.
You said it's bad. You know, I'm like, what? Wait, stop. You didn't like Hot Frosty. And then what did you say? But it is entertaining.
Yes, it was fun to watch. You know, I love bad movies.
All right.
And this is very much, you know, a Hallmark movie or a Lifetime right. movie. So
but
if
it's
you watch
on Netflix.
Those, you know what to expect. Yeah, it's on Netflix. And, you know, it's a town that specializes in making really good snow sculptures. They make one of a hot guy looking like, you know, the Michelangelo's David. And then it gets a magic scarf put on it by the protagonist. And he starts streaking when he's alive.
Because the snowman, literally snowman, comes to life. And of course, snowmen don't wear pants. And so when he comes to life, apparently, he's butt-ass naked.
Yeah. Then he breaks into a store and steals some clothes because he doesn't know that's wrong because he was literally born yesterday.
So it's kind of an adult take on Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah. It's not inappropriate. Frosty. Children could watch it.
They could.
Yeah. They won't. You won't see so anything.
People are talking about this movie, Hot Frost. And I saw an interview, and the guy who plays Frosty he's a hot dude.
So that's the idea. LA Tom texts in, Todd, maybe you can watch Hot Frosty while you Netflix and chill.
Well, that's always a possibility. So you were watching. You just to clarify though, you were watching Hot Frosty. You were not Netflixing and chilling.
Correct. That'd be really weird because I was watching it with my sister.
All right. Well, I just thought people would want that quick holiday entertainment update, you know, and if Pete Schwabe wants to use this portion on his show or use you, you could go on Schwabe's show nightlight at 6 o'clock and you could do a quick review.
Yeah. And I can give specific reasons. I will say the things that are bad are like the visual effects and things like the snow people look like styrofoam.
Oh, that's
like,
not good.
It's just there's stuff that's
it's
not
cheap.
Good about it. It's
cheap,
but it's a fun movie.
But it's a
I do
fun
recommend
holiday
it.
Romp.
Yes.
All right. There's your hot take on Hot Frosty as a public service to you here at the Todd Allball Show. All right, let's finish this up. We're asking what's worse, the Badger football team under Luke Fickell or the Badger football team under Don Morton? Jim, listening in Appleton on WGBW, says, in my opinion, Fickell is worse. Morton took a team that was hovering in the middle of the pack and mostly kept them there. Fickell took a top 20 team and drove it into the ground. I would basically agree with Jim. I think that if you just look at the quality of football being played on the field, I think you still have to say that the Morton era football team on the field was worse. But if you look at overall what's worse, the football team under Fickell, the football team under Morton, I would say I would agree with Jim that this is worse because to Jim's point, there was a history, 25-year history of winning pretty consistently and an identity. So pure football on the field, Morton was worse. But overall, I think the feeling as a fan is worse on this. And if you're one of those people that are paying out primo dollars for the South End Zone, it's really worse now. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Robert, listening in Richland Center on WRCE, says happy birthday, Aaron. There you go.
Thank you, Robert. And there are a few others who we haven't called out on air, but yeah. I see all them, and I appreciate everybody texting in with birthday wishes.
People, they're very appreciative of you, as we are as well, Zomers. So,
and I'm appreciative of them listening.
Absolutely. All right, I want to get to this. Don't want to avoid it because I think it is a couple of people a little incredulous asking why I would even bring this up. It's number one, it's news. And number two, I think it's important that we talk about it. I listened to our friend Matt Rothschild was filling in for Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. She and Greg went to a spa, I understand, today. So we're looking forward to talking about that tomorrow on the show. With I'm going to be on Matt Nair on Air tomorrow at 10:30. I'll ask him about Jane and Greg's spa date today. Anyway, Rothschild was filling in. And I pretty much agree with Matt Rothschild on this. So if you haven't heard, over the weekend, last night, as a matter of fact, President Joe Biden released a statement saying that he was pardoning his son, Hunter. And I'm not going to read the entire statement. You can find it online. It's not all that long. But, I mean, it's in my opinion, I don't want to say it's legalese because it's not really legalese. Basically, what he's saying is, look, you know, I'll read this directly. Quote, from the day I took office, I said I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision-making, and I kept my word even as I have reached or watched my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted. Without aggravating factors like use in a crime, multiple purchases, or buying a weapon as a straw purchaser, people are almost never brought to trial on a felony charge solely for how they filled out a gun form. Those people who are late paying taxes because of a serious addiction, but paid them back subsequently with interest and penalties, are typically given non-criminal resolutions. It's clear that Hunter was treated differently. So a case, again, very quickly, large, you know, 30,000 foot level here. Hunter Biden admitted, it's well known, that he went through a serious time in his life where he went through addiction. By all accounts, he's been sober now 6-7 years, I think. So it was during this time when he was addicted to drugs that he filled out a form allegedly to buy a gun or after that and forgot to put or didn't put on there that he had a conviction. And then he was late paying federal taxes on a large scale, but ended up paying them back with interest and with penalties. And so and this came before the courts. There was a plea deal arranged. The judge didn't like it because they thought it was letting Hunter Biden off light. So they went to trial. Hunter Biden was found guilty on this stuff. And so now there's a sentencing coming up. And so Biden had said during the election that he would not do this. He would not pardon his son, that he was going to stay out of the justice system. And now on reflection, he has said, look, here, I'll read directly again. This from Joe Biden's letter. Quote, the charges in this case came about only after several of my political opponents in Congress instigated them to attack me and oppose my election. Then a carefully negotiated plea deal agreed to by the Department of Justice unraveled in the courtroom with a number of my political opponents in Congress taking credit for bringing political pressure on the process. Had the plea deal held, it would have been fair, reasonable resolution to Hunter's cases. No reasonable person who looks at the facts of Hunter's case can reach any other conclusion than Hunter was singled out only because he was my son, and that is wrong. So that's essentially his reason for changing his mind. Saying that, and look, legal experts from both sides or people who are nonpartisan have said, if you or I would have done the things that Hunter Biden did, and had pay the prices, literally and figuratively, that he had, that the sentencing or the resolution would not have been the same for you or I. That's fairly agreed upon. But the fact that he was Biden's son singled him out. So, and remember, Joe Biden's a guy who lost his wife and daughter in a car accident, lost his oldest son, Beau, to cancer after serving overseas in the military, being a victim of these burn pits where he got cancer and died. Joe Biden's been through a tremendous amount of loss. And if you pause and reflect for a moment and take the politics and everything else out of it, if you just look at it from a human component, a dad and his kid, and saying, you know what, he has paid the price on this stuff quite a bit, and now he's being singled out because he's my son, and I have the ability to take this from him, this burden. I think if any of us would put ourselves in the shoes of Joe Biden, you can find compassion and say, look, I get it. I mean, at 81 years old, I mean, no, none of us know if we're going to live tomorrow. But at 81, Joe Biden's a lot closer to the end of his life than the beginning. And he probably figures, however much time I have, I don't want to be thinking about my son sitting in prison when I could have, you know, stopped that. So I get the reason why he did it. But you also, I think, have to look at this from a perceived political situation. And it's also kind of the ostrich burying his head in the sand to say, well, this shouldn't matter. It does. The sitting president of the United States said that he wouldn't do this. The sitting president of the United States said that he wasn't going to interfere with the Justice Department. And he has made the decision to pardon his son. That's, look, he has the right to do that. I get that as a dad. I mean, I'm not a dad, but I'm just saying at that relationship, parent and child. But to somehow think that this isn't going to have political ramifications is just naive. Because now it gives the right, who doesn't exactly deal in truth, the ability to construe this. And here's the magic, whether we want to admit it or not, the magic of the right is that they base a lot of things. They base them in nuggets of truth. So they could take this politically and use it as justification for why Trump has already pardoned people that certainly don't deserve it. And now he said he's going to pardon all the January 6th insurrectionists. And Trump could say, hey, I didn't pardon, you know, anybody in my family. He pardoned his son-in-law's dad. It's politically very messy. And just like the election, and we're going to talk about this before the show ends, Ben Wickler running for DNC chair, because he's hit on something. It's not so much I've come to believe this, that Democrats didn't do poorly. Again, there are exceptions like Tammy Baldwin in state legislature, but from Harris down to other races, it wasn't that the economy was in the toilet. It wasn't that gas prices were through the roof. It wasn't that grocery prices were through the roof. It was the perception of all those things. And some of it, there are nuggets of truth, but it's the perception. And the lesson that I learned early in politics is that perception is reality. That in politics, the truth often does not matter when it comes to campaigns. It's how people perceive things. And how the public perceives what Joe Biden has done, and how the right amplifies it, and the fact that conservative media has a huge lead and jump on progressive media, this is only going to grow. So I don't disagree with what Joe Biden did as a dad, but I don't think he did his party or other Democrats any favors. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We're going to take your phone calls to the other side. Gene and Troy, stay on the line. As Matt Flynn likes to see, we say, we see you on the lines. Do not hang up. More of your phone calls after this. It's the Tahlo Ball Show right here on the Civic Media. Ready to go.
listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it. All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
And good afternoon, everybody. This is Todd Allball in the Civic Media Newsroom. Now, 9 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock on Monday, December 2nd, we have breaking news to bring to you. According to Channel 3000, the local CBS affiliate here in Madison, a Dane County judge this afternoon has ruled to strike multiple parts of Wisconsin's controversial 2011 Act 10 legislation, restoring collective bargaining rights for some, keyword some, political sector employees. Judge Jacob Frost wrote in an initial decision this July that parts of the law were unconstitutional, specifically the portions prohibiting unions representing general employees but not public safety employees from collectively bargaining for any benefits outside of raises that would be capped to inflation. Frost wrote in his July ruling that there was, quote, no rational basis, unquote, for how the legislators differentiated between general employees and public safety employees in the law. For example, he argued that attorneys for the legislature could not make a substantial case for why state troopers would be considered public safety employees, but Capitol and University of Wisconsin police should not. In his ruling today, Frost wrote that because those parts of the law are unconstitutional, that they must be stricken. Additionally, he wrote that he could not strike the definition of quote-unquote public safety employee while leaving the rest of the law in place. Reading now from the judge's decision, quote, neither this court, the Court of Appeals, nor the Supreme Court can decide how we believe the legislature should act. Whether it should have, but did not define the word public safety or the phrase public safety employee group, Frost wrote. We cannot decide who should be included or excluded absent guidance from the legislature as to its lawful policy choices. Additionally, Frost ruled to strike down portions of Act 55 that pertain to the difference between general employees and public safety employee groups laid out in Act 10. Under then-Governor Scott Walker, Act 10 was meant to stabilize Wisconsin's budget in the 2010s It led to massive protests in the state capitol, and some would argue to a creation of a two-class public and private education system in K through 12. Again, breaking news at this hour, a Dane County judge has ruled that to strike down multiple parts of Wisconsin's controversial Act 10 legislation from 2011, restoring collective bargaining rights for some, keyword some, public employees. Civic Media News will continue to follow this and update you as the situation warrants. Again, for this for now, I'm Todd Albaugh in Civic Media Newsroom. Stay tuned for more on this from Civic Media News. Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media News. I got to change gears. The Civic Media Radio Network, 5 before the hour of 2 o'clock. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next across all of these stations. Want to go quickly to the phone lines, get these calls in. 855-752-4842. Gene in Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for calling back. What say you?
Hi, I just had a quick call with my 2 cents worth on the pardon. Personally, as an independent my entire life, I think it shows strength, compassion, forgiveness. And he listened to a lot of us that caused the president's line where you can call and leave a message for the president. Mm-hmm. And I strongly believe that he should be pardoned. Nobody on this earth has been put through what this guy has been put through by the Congress of the United States of America, showing nude pictures on the floor, going after him almost daily. And this guy has been through more than anybody I've ever seen, and he's a recovering addict, and God darn it, he deserves that pardon. I don't care if he's the president's son or enemy or anything. Mm. That guy was put through HLL for political purposes, and we can't keep that up in our country. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree, but Gene, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but don't you also think that this, politically, that there are going to be ramifications for this?
Absolutely not. God darn, it's about time right. People start standing up to the BS that's being utilized.
I disagree with you, Gene. I think there are going to be political ramifications. 855-752-4842. Troy, I'm out. Horeb, Troy, thanks for calling in. What say you?
You know, I agree with Gene 100%, and I wish you to pardon Hunter the day after the election. If people can't tell the difference between Hunter, Biden, and Steve Bannon or the rest of these people, then I can't help them anyways. So politically, there might be a small blip, but I think that'll be forgotten in the end.
Yeah, and it might be. I mean, especially in today's news cycle. If I would have been on Biden's team, I would have said, do this on New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve. You know, I announced it at 5 o'clock.
That would have been good too, yeah.
5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. You know, look, it's the season of forgiving. You know, you do it then, and it's not, I just don't get why you do it now. But again, you know, Joe Biden hasn't been exactly great with his timing this year of making announcements. But appreciate you, Troy. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Had to get the breaking news in there, get a Dane County judge striking down multiple parts of Act 10. It's going to be very important to figure out what parts were stricken. And then eventually, most likely, this is going to go to the state Supreme Court. So lots going on there and how this impacts the spring Supreme Court race. All this yet to be determined. Talk more about Ben Wickler tomorrow. Sorry, ran out of time on that. But I think he's a good one. He's done a great job in Wisconsin. And it would be great to see him be the National Democratic chair. Great show today. Appreciate you all for calling in. Thank you to Zomers. Happy birthday, my friend, once again. Thank you to the Civic Media crew for stopping by. Luke Mathers in tomorrow on the program. Look forward to welcoming him for Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Todd Albaugh saying whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging on your drum. Talk to you tomorrow.
Banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
Eagle 1490 AM. Dom Selvia.
Just PS, Dom's producer here. Next time, Dom will be back live for all the political talk you missed. No more looking at how the sausage gets made, except for the government. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.